I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Hear now the reading from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, I am commanding you today, my loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but you are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so you may live in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So into three.
Thank you, Dr. Martin. I appreciate that reading. How many of us 40 and up, some of you are over 40, probably don't know that. How many of you can remember as a teen or a young adult thinking that you were going to conquer the world? You're getting out of high school, you either get a job, go off to college, and you think, this is it, this is where I'm going to make my mark on the world. How many of you now find yourselves not feeling like you're going to conquer the world? Sometimes plans change, things happen. Even today, we hear people say, when we ask them, can you do this, will you do this, they'll say, I'm not going down that rabbit hole. When they refer to getting off course or buying into an argument or philosophical question that leads to nothing good. In theological circles, one may say, explain the Trinity. We had that discussion in our Sunday school class. I was in Longview yesterday with Seth. His biblical study class asked that very question. And then somebody will say, I'm not going down that rabbit hole. Why? Because it's something that's very difficult to explain, and chances are you're going to find people who aren't going to agree with you. So you just don't do it. In this scripture, we will read the words, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Do you recall similar words in scripture early on? Does this even sound familiar to you? Let's try this. I bet you can even tell what book this is from. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall die. Sounds very similar to what was just read. I'm giving you choices. Now I know you may be thinking, oh, well, it wasn't really a choice. God commanded him not to do it. My question for you is, then why did God put it there? I don't want you to eat of this, but I'm going to put it here to see what you do. What choice are you going to make? I mean, there's no getting around it. If God didn't want him to have it, he wouldn't have put it in the garden. But God's good about giving choices. God always gives us choices. The question is, do you choose life or do you choose adversity? Do you choose life or do you choose death? God says, you are given the opportunity to follow me or go your own way. Are you going your own way? I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. What will it be? But all too often we get distracted. You may have noticed, and we've talked about this, and it's been said many times, churches are closing doors all over the world because people are chasing the rabbit. Well, if I get this great job, if I get busy on Sundays, if I stay home and watch football, whatever it may be, that's going to make my life better. Does it? No longer part of a community of faith? Does that enhance your life? In truth, this scenario in both Deuteronomy and Genesis is representative of real life, is it not? Do we not have temptations to pull away from God every day? Isn't there that temptation to pull away from God? And have not many chosen to go their own way? And the question is, why? Why do we humans, generally speaking, have an attraction to death and adversity rather than life and prosperity? What is it that is so attractive to us that we give up this? Being together. Having an opportunity to share ideas, share thoughts, go to Sunday school and have great discussions. Why is it sitting at home is better? Or whatever else anybody wants to do. I want to share something with you that an author, Barbara Bloom, wrote. And I hope that it helps some of you. It certainly helped me to read it. But it's something I read years ago and I thought, you know, this is good stuff. I would like for everyone to hear it. She says, sometimes life deals us a situation so adverse, a loss so great, we feel unable to meet the challenge of facing day after day in our pain and loss. She says, I remember in 2003 when our family lost first my older sister and then a nephew just 2 months later. It seemed the tears would never end. We felt unable to walk day by day, confronted with such intense grief and sorrow. One day life seems fine and everything is normal, and the next thing you know, it throws you a curveball and you are knocked completely off balance. How many of us have experienced that? How do you face each day now, she says? How do you get up tomorrow morning and walk through each hour in agonizing pain and still function? Will you always feel this way? Will the pain ever end or just continue forever? Few of us could bear the thought of living the rest of our lives in such torment. Those facing a divorce, the loss of lifelong dreams, the loss of a loved one, or a debilitating illness have stood and stared at the giant question mark face to face. How do I get through this? Can I get through this? I've heard that so many times, and I've experienced it myself. Opportunity may only knock once, but adversity has a lot more patience. It can knock for years. All the more reason to learn how to handle it when it shows up knocking on our door. It is a battle between fear and faith. A battle between fear and faith. Our fear that we will always feel so miserable, or faith that time will ease the pain and our tomorrows will be better than our today. John F. Kennedy said in a speech in 1959, when written in Chinese, the word crisis is composed of two characters. One represents danger and the other represents opportunity. Crisis, or severe adversity, does bring with it opportunity of one kind or another. Adversities such as divorce bring with them new beginnings, a chance to reinvent oneself, to embrace a change of scenery, to do things you never considered doing before. A job loss brings the opportunity to explore possible career changes, a change of location, new skills to learn. Instead of focusing on our misery and our loss, we must rise up and look crisis square in the eye, look for any opportunities in our situation, and move forward. Just one step After that step, we contemplate the next step, always keeping our eyes on hope while turning our faces away from our distress. And then she says this in closing, hope is the solid knot at the end of the fraying rope you are clinging to that keeps you from sliding off into nowhere. Though we need to learn from yesterday, we still have to keep living today and should always strive to hope for a better tomorrow. And all too often, folks, when we get caught in a bad place, we just give up hope. But you know, Adam and Eve, they had a child kill another child. They didn't give up. God has from the beginning said, here you go. I'm going to give you a choice. Something bad's going to happen. Are you going to give up or are you going to live your life? Are you going to have hope? And to back it up, what does he do? He sends his only son for us. There's hope. One sure thing about life is things will always change. Always. You will not always feel the way you feel today. It may take days or weeks or even years, but there will come a day when you will awake and notice the sun is shining again. Your heart has moved on and a new phase of your life has arrived. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but when the Japanese mend broken objects, they aggrandize the damage by filling the cracks with gold. They believe when something has suffered damage and has a history, it becomes more beautiful. So anything in their home, when it breaks, they're going to fill those cracks with gold. Do we do that? Or do we just throw it in the trash? All too often, Laura and I have seen in counseling sessions where people have become so grief-stricken, so depressed, they find themselves chasing rabbits right down into the rabbit hole. The rabbit hole of depression, blame, regrets, anger, frustration, and yes, even hate. And they don't want to let go. That's the strange part, you might think, is they love being there at that moment. They are so lost in the experience, it becomes a way of life. That's not one of the things God wants us to do. That's not something that Jesus preached. Hey, if you get really upset and you're ready to give up, hang on to it. That's never been said. Listen to this. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today, you shall perish. Regrets, blame, and hate, they're all very unhealthy. Such things lead to acts of revenge, which Jesus said we are not to do because it will only lead to our destruction. John Greenleaf Whittier, one of our most astute poets, wrote, "For of all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." That is what regret is all about. The world is full of people who regret having thoughtlessly chosen to go down the wrong path. And we see it all through Scripture. There is no one who is immune from going down the wrong path. King David went down the wrong path. The disciples, so many times, went down the wrong path. Life is a series of forks in the road. It is a series of decisions, some more important than others, but the choices are up to us, and the consequences of those choices are ours to own. What we choose has consequences. They belong to us. That we should want to blame and or hate simply makes no sense in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It just doesn't. Wayne Dyer writes, "All blame is a waste of time. No matter how much fault you find with another, and regardless of how much you blame him, it will not change you. You may succeed in making another feel guilty of something by blaming him. You won't succeed in changing whatever it is about you that is making you unhappy. Susan Jacoby writes about people who profoundly believe they are always losers. Have you met someone like that? They just think there's a dark cloud over their head. Peanuts cartoons, they show us this side of life. Sometimes people just feel like they're doomed to failure, that they're never going to be anything. She calls them injustice collectors. They endlessly repeat how others have mistreated them. They view the world as hostile and unfair to them. They are beachcombers of misery who see each grievance as a treasure to add to their collection. They have a hidden need to feel wronged. They live by the childish notion that life should always be fair to them. Have you met people like that? They just feel like life ought to be fair. And when it's not, they get angry. And when they get angry, they exact revenge or act out. And we see it in the news. We see it in the news all the time. People will go in and start shooting because they feel wronged. Things just aren't the way they thought they should be. And who suffers? You and I do. The tendency to blame others is deeply ingrained in human nature. Left to ourselves, we will do anything to avoid taking personal responsibility for our actions. And I can say without reservation, I know someone like Judge Carter or somebody like Glenn has been in a courtroom and they've heard people say, but it's not my fault. And they know it is. Well, don't blame me. He said something to me and I got mad and I punched him. They won't take responsibility for their actions. And it tells us, without a deep working of the grace of God within us, we will do exactly what Adam and Eve did. Here's your choices. And they say, oh, well, you know, this one you say will be condemned to die. We're going for it. What kind of decision is that? Here's the tree of life. Everything's great. But, you know, now that you told us this is bad, we're going to try it. God wants us to have his grace. He does. God does not want us to be blamers. God wants us to live in his light and his land. Listen to this from our reading that Dr. Martin gave. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so you and your descendants may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so you may live in the land of the Lord. The Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. It's pretty clear. That's what God wants for us, says there in Scripture. I want you to choose life. I want you to make a better choice. But that being said, he never takes away our ability to choose. Whatever Scripture you read, there's always going to be that side that you can go to. It isn't good. God does not want us to chase rabbits. That's easy. We look and we say, oh, that looks better than going to church. Well, that looks better than being a part of a Christian community. Well, this looks better. And you just start running down there. God says, I'm trying to tell you, there's life in adversity. To live running away from him and not to him just seems crazy. And we are running away from him when we choose the path of blame, regrets, anger, frustration, and hate. For these are not his ways, nor what his son taught us. Yet we have been given the choice, and it is up to us. What will your choice be? Will you choose life, or will you chase rabbits? All through Scripture, God presents choices. And all through Scripture, he adds, this is what I want for you. But you choose. It's not a controlling God. It's a God of love. You choose. What kind of life do you want? This scripture is, as I said, very much a repeat of what we heard in Genesis. But if you remember, when Jesus walked this earth, he said to his disciples, you can choose life or you can choose death. Nothing changed. The offer is still there. So I would ask that we all consider what we are doing with our lives and what would be a good choice. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the opportunity to serve you. We ask that we can be there to do your work, that we can choose life and not run away from you, but run to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Hold us in your loving arms. Heal the wounds that we have suffered through life. And hold us in your loving arms always, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.